Good evening. Welcome to the Celerity Report. Today is June 19th, 2014. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Upcoming events, this Sunday we have Lunch with Catherine, a great group in Marin County. I'm really looking forward to seeing those of you who are going to join us there. This is a group of subscribers who really enjoy each other's company, so this is going to be fun. Some of the people attending will also be coming to the Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilization Conference, June 28th to 29th at San Mateo, right between San Francisco and Palo Alto, where I stay when I'm out here. A remarkable group of people, not just speaking, but attending. That was funny. I was spiked on Coast to Coast News twice this week. Just about to talk and then talking and shut off the radio. And that's because George and Roy, the host, normally asked me what's going on. And so that's the time for me to plug the conference. I suspect that there are very powerful people who don't want this conference plugged. My guess is that's going to, you know, I'll stop getting spiked after this is over. We've decided to move the wrap-up back several weeks until I'm back in Tennessee so that we can do a report on the conference on the next Celerity Report after the conference, July 3rd. So we're going to do a report with Bonnie Faulkner. Bonnie is a wonderful radio host from KPFA Radio who will be attending the conference, and Bonnie and I will be recording something this weekend out after the luncheon. In anticipation of the conference. So that's going to be a very rich report. Our theme tonight is it's time to put on your big boy pants, an expression. I have some wonderful people in my life who use that. But it's time to put on your big boy pants. If you look at the news, whether it's the news coming out of the Middle East, coming in the squabble in Ukraine, the squabble in the South China Sea, everything going on in the United States, including the post office now buying bullets, what we're watching are the symptoms of an unsustainable economic system everywhere and the challenges of how we grapple with changing to something more sustainable. We even have Pope Francis of the Vatican giving a speech saying our economic system is unsustainable. To his credit, he described youth unemployment rates as an atrocity in quite a damning message. It'll be up on the blog. I would point out, though, that the Vatican was quiet on the whole issue until their cash flows got hammered. So, of course, as everybody's cash flow gets hammered, this issue comes to the fore. There's a new business in academia. I'll be talking about it more in the wrap-up. Media, too, in creating lots of reasons and justifications for inequality, other than the real reasons. The various excuses are it's technology. It's really the semiconductors. Some people are more talented. It's the accident of the marketplace. No mention is there of central control that's using violent means and covert technologies to engineer inequality by force and sort of a control and consolidation of capital. And so I'll be talking about that more. But I think particularly during election season, there are a lot of people sensitive on this issue. So you're going to see more and more writing about inequality. There's a lot you and I can do to adapt and contribute. The best thing we can do is to change our own lives and be about our business in a way that moves things in a positive way. Let the larger factions battle for resources. This is a good time to revisit our Coming Clean commentary that we published in 2004. It's really a list of things that you can do in your own life or circle. There's way too much stress in the system. If you just look at the clients I talk to the subscribers I talk to, the Celerity team, families are dealing with health problems, financial problems. There's just way too much stress in the system. So anything you and I can do to simplify and build our own financial and physical immune systems is good, and reach out and help others do the same. One of the ideas, of course, I keep hammering on food, and fresh food. Having sort of left the healthcare system or the traditional healthcare system sometime in the late 90s, I feel like I'm going through the process early. So I'm trying to tell you this is one of the most important things you can do. We posted an article on 25 ways to lower your grocery bills. Of course, my concern is 25 ways you can improve the quality while you lower the cost. If you've ever thought about starting a Celerity Circle, this is a great way to do it. I know a couple people who did the equivalent of a monthly, or you could do weekly, you could do monthly, you could do quarterly. Just a dinner where you bring a potluck, everybody comes together, And you talk about different ways you can help each other do all the different things you can do to really radically re-engineer your food budget. If you're in an urban area near terminal markets, you know, get a group of people together and take turns going down to the terminal market at 4 or 5 in the morning and buying, you know, incredible organic food in the caseload. There's other kinds of bulk buying too. Many of the grocery stores will let you put in big bulk orders. And there are ways of doing that together that can save you an enormous amount of money, particularly if you catch the sales or the right time of year. For people who like community gardening, there's a lot you can do. You don't even have to do a community garden. You grow the tomatoes and I'll grow the beans and then we'll swap. So there's lots that can be done. And of course, edible landscapes. I'm just reading a wonderful new book called Restoration Agriculture by a permaculturalist who has developed a farm that really depends a lot on trees. And I'm a great believer in that. I keep planting trees that bear fruit in the hopes that I can get more of an edible landscape. But think about it, because if you look at the most recent announcement of the CPI in May, again, tremendous increases in food prices as there was in April. So you want to start getting radical, and it can make a huge difference, even if you have plenty of money. If you look at what a big bite the fresh food and food is going to take, you want to make sure you're getting quality, and you can save a lot of money. Why not put that money to use elsewhere? Money in markets. The bond market has had a come to Jesus moment this week. We see the Fed continuing to taper, I think a good thing, but bad news flowing from Iraq and Ukraine, and the U.S. Treasury market was clearly under pressure. Dollar under a small amount of pressure, but Treasuries more. We saw the 20-year Treasury ETF down about 1.25%. That's a very big move for one day. Now, it's up year-to-date 13%, which puts the S&P up 4.75% to shame. So there's no doubt about it. Bonds have had an incredible year to the shock and amazement, as I've said before, to all of us. But clearly there's pressure on that market. The Fed lowered their growth projections and indicated that interest rates would stay low for the year. We've seen lots of concerns about liquidity in the bond market. I talked in the wrap-up this year about how Wall Street was laying off a lot of people in the fixed income divisions. Dodd-Frank clearly pulled a lot of liquidity out of that market. If you watch the movie Margin Call that we covered in Let's Go to the Movies, you get a sense of, you know, how tons of people churning paper can create liquidity. That's not necessarily a good thing. This is a change that has to come. But we do show Fed minutes and various discussions showing consideration of concern for liquidity in the market and what could happen to mutual funds if the liquidity seizes up and you get a lot of bond redemptions. Part of the reason that's coming up is PIMCO, of course, has now had 13 months of straight outflows. And given the fact that yields continue to come down, that's not surprising. But the reality is the overhang of debt is likely to push money towards real things, stocks, real estate, commodities. Because if you look globally, we have more sovereign debt than we have capacity of sovereign governments to really carry it. The Argentine president announced this week that they're going to defy a U.S. court order for repayment of debts. We had hedge funds accumulate some of their debt positions. So Argentina, which has been a country that's gone through more economic turmoil than just about any place on planet, is facing even more. But it's a reminder to everybody that we cannot afford all the debt. The U.S., of course, continues to print. We have a report this week that $69 trillion in wealth in America will be inherited by 2052. That's sort of the wealth being passed by generations, of which the federal government is expected to get $5.6 trillion in taxes. However, the national debt just passed $62 trillion and continues to climb quickly. So the issue of how we build and create wealth and how we deal with the debt is even more tense, particularly as you see in the international news, more and more pushback globally of different countries not wanting to continue to carry you know, passing their savings to the United States to finance the continued game, if you will. We see an announcement that the central banks are shifting enormous amounts of investment into investment in the equity market. The idea is that that is because rates have been low and this is how they're going to get earnings. However, I think, the big question in my mind, too early to tell, is this a key sign that a crash up is being engineered, a conversion to equity model that we've talked a lot before on the Solaria report. I'm going to continue to talk about it. But I think it's a bellwether piece of news and one we are going to have to watch closely. Needless to say, one of the reasons the equity markets globally have done so well is, in fact, that money has been shifted and it's quite a big position. Check that article out if you're interested. More and more, I'm beginning to wonder if some of the bailout money, instead of going to clean up the bond market, went to basically cleaning up some of the naked short selling and other sort of drags in the equity markets. No doubt there were a lot of smart money that bought equities cheap in 2008 and 2009. If they use that money to clean up the equity market instead of the debt, they're going to get, quite a run for their money. And then, of course, in the engineering of governments, the governments can, as far as they're concerned, get hung with the debt. Gold and silver moving up, but it may be only a blip, so I would be careful, because if you look at the charts, they're very much entering overbought territory, so I would be careful. We may have found the bottom, we may have not. So far, precious metals has held the line sort of better and stronger than I thought it would, but again, I think it's early, a lot can happen. There is real pressure as the growth slows down in the U.S. to get the trade deals with Europe and the Trans-Pacific Partnership done. Again, those are being held up by the election. Harry Reid having said he wouldn't touch them during an election year. There's also pressure on immigration reform. There is a tremendous urge on the part of the people managing the economy to get immigration reform done in two respects. One is, if you bring in lots of young people, we see reports on the internet this week that lots of young people are encouraged to come in and sort of, go around the border guards. But lots and lots of young people can help kickstart the economy, as well as a big piece of immigration reform is if you give resident status to anybody who's graduating from college or university here. That will help to flow money into college and universities, which are clearly under stress. But it means you have an extraordinary amount of talent from all over the world coming and really kickstarting your entrepreneurial sort of venture capital. And if you look at the intellectual capital flowing from around the world, I'm very much in favor of doing that. I think it's a great idea. One of the things to keep an eye on as you're watching this tension over the sort of slowing growth in the economy is the efforts by Amazon, Apple, Google to build wallet and other payment systems. We see Amazon put out its new phone. You can point and click at a barcode and just order. Kind of scary. PayPal, too. We see changes in PayPal, but PayPal is clearly in the running. Part of the breakaway civilization's plan to sort of jump the curve on a new currency system is to use the smartphone infrastructure and the mobile payment systems to re-engineer how things are done. As I said, what they want more than anything is the digital currency. They can't push for that until the hardware and software is in place. And so keep watching developments in this area, because it's going to be a critical variable in the course of events. And I thought the Amazon announcement was very important. We did a special report this week. Stephen Roach, author of a new book on China, which I strongly recommend to you, called Unbalanced. And it's about the need for the U.S. and China to rebalance their economy. What Roach says is, we've had a period, 15, 20 years of false prosperity, where China finances us buying lots of consumer goods that we can't afford. And we proceed to buy from China. So that creates a lot of employment, and around we go. And we need to stop that. We need to cut down our consumption, and China needs to increase consumption and service. It's a very well done book. It's very sound. He doesn't get into the covert side of life, which, so in that sense, he and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on a lot, but there is enormous amount in the book in terms of excellent overview of many aspects of the Chinese economy and the reforms underway and the difference in the two cultures and the importance of those cultures not going to war, but rather finding ways of aligning. One of the most interesting parts of the book is his discussion of the impact of the internet on the U.S. versus China, and how it's been a real tool of division in the United States as opposed to China, where it's brought people together. I think there's going to be more focus on that impact of the internet. The speed at which people are getting onto the internet in China is dramatic. And of course, they now have more people on the internet than North America and pretty soon more than the English-speaking world. That's going to have a dramatic impact, I think, on society globally. A lot of the coming IPO from Alibaba, I think, is going to focus people on the nature of this shift and how important it is. And I think it's critical for all of us to understand, so I recommend that book to you. This week we published Promoting Women Part 5. That's the fifth part in a series I've been writing about this effort to promote women in leadership positions, I think both for good reasons and not so wonderful reasons. This one was about the fact that the Clinton juggernaut for president seems to have stalled a bit. It's really both the Bush and the Clinton sort of early corporate effort to see if we couldn't push them way in the lead seems to have run into reality. But I talk in this one about Hillary Clinton. She, week before last, made a comment that when she and Clinton left the White House that they were dead broke. And of course, the expression dead broke means different things and when you run in different circles. But if you are anybody in America who's struggling with the financial situation that was very much created with the help of the Clintons and many of the things they did that created their personal wealth, dead broke means something else. One of the stories I put up last week was a story of a woman who died in a prison cell alone because she was serving a 2-day jail sentence because she wasn't able to pay her child's truancy fines, and so she had to go to prison. But, you know, dead broke in America means, for many, many people, means something very different. And the thing that was so shocking about what happened is we're talking about someone who has very significant campaign experience. Hillary Clinton has campaigned in 2 presidential campaigns for her husband. She's run an unsuccessful presidential campaign for herself, 2 successful campaigns for Senate. So this is somebody who should know better. And the fact that she doesn't really speaks to the fact that we see worlds diverging in a way that with the presidential election coming up in 2016, you know, things could shift in remarkable ways. So I was thinking it was kind of a grease lightning for both Bush and Clinton, but the environment says no, it's not. House Republicans elected Representative Kevin McCarthy from the Central Valley in California as the new majority leader, replacing Eric Cantor. It's an interesting choice. McCarthy's area's district is hit hard by drought, so it's an area that knows agriculture, petroleum, and the black budget. The China Lake facility is in his area. So it's going to be very interesting to see what McCarthy going into that position does and the policy that comes out of the Republican Party. Again, I think the communication that's going to occur in this election, midterm election, is going to be very, very interesting. And the pressure is going to be absolutely on to keep stock market high and the economy looking good. Our hero this week is a Stanford professor, Anat Admati. TED speech from Stanford up on the blog. It's called The Banker's New Clothes. For somebody from Stanford University to hit the bankers that hard is quite remarkable. And somehow this week I felt they certainly deserve that because a story up from Bloomberg, Goldman wins dismissal of a $450 million mortgage bond suit. Essentially, what the court said was that it wasn't Goldman Sachs' fault that the buyer had been stung by crappy mortgages because, in fact, the buyer hadn't gone in and due diligence the mortgage themselves. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The idea of having an investment banker and an underwriter's counsel and a rating agency is a whole bunch of smart people are paid to go do the due diligence and tell you accurately what you have, and they are responsible to be accurate about it. And if they are not accurate, that's either a material omission or other violation of the securities law. So to me, this is an outrage. What it says is anything goes. There is no law. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm always happy to see a Stanford University professor point out the absurdity of the system. That one was really bad. ask Catherine one question that we got too late to ask. It would be great if Franklin could touch on how to be successful running a family business that employs family members. He touched on that, but that is a topic that we ought to, that's a topic we're thinking about having. So thank you for that suggestion. Dear Catherine and Salieri, with the incredibly high cost of college education nowadays, it's great to see Starbucks stepping up and announcing that they're paying for their employees' college education online at Arizona State University. Employees will be entitled to greatly reduced tuition for their first 2 years, and Starbucks will be paying for their entire final 2 years at the university. It would be interesting to see if universities and corporations begin forming similar alliances. Yes, we put that story up on the blog, and it's a great indication. Starbucks is one of the companies that does the best in terms of training and developing human capital. They really do a very good job. The service in Starbucks is extraordinary, very high quality across the country. One of the things we discussed with Jim Poplov in our interview today was the revolution in education. And I think you'll see lots of companies take this lead and lots of universities use online education to lower the cost and make education much more relevant and affordable. Another question. A number of times you've mentioned the concept of spiritual warfare and how it's changed your approach on how to deal with things. I wonder if you'd be willing to do a Salieri report around the idea of spiritual warfare. I would especially be interested in exploration of the topic that wasn't specific to a particular religion. One of the things I would encourage you to do is if you go back into our archives and articles, you can find things that touch on this. One is a Salieri report I did called How to Tell the Truth and Stay Alive. Another is our Coming Clean commentary. Another is something I did from Switzerland called Report from Switzerland. And then one that John Rappaport and I did called The Power of It. I'll think about doing one on spiritual warfare. It's very hard for me to do it without without using scripture or other concepts from scripture. But I think there's a way I can do that, and you can translate that into your own, sort of particular philosophy or denomination. So I certainly don't want to do it in a way that tries to encourage you to adopt my religion. But I do, I am very, very steeped in the tradition of Christian spiritual warfare. So I will contemplate sort of doing that and how to do that, because obviously that's an incredibly important part of my life. Catherine, it would be most welcome if you devoted part of one Salieri report to the principle of integrity, personal and professional integrity, challenges we face in today's world and why it must strive to hold to this ideal. That one is even harder than spiritual warfare, because so much of what is done in any kind of formal way on this stuff ends up being used as a petard to hang people on. And so I've gotten more and more low to talk about those things. But I do think it is important to talk about how you apply principles when you're in a marketplace in a world which is very corrupt. It's something I struggle with every day. Another question, just wondering if you read Kathy O'Brien's Transformation of America. Yes, I have, although a very long time ago. Kathy O'Brien was someone who said that they were a mind-controlled sex slave. It's a book that's hard to read. If you read people who've had that kind of covert experience, there are other books which I think are easier to read. And it's almost as though, whenever you read one of the stories, you kind of have to translate it into something which it's easy for somebody who hasn't had covert experience to understand. But yes, I've read it, and I've never recommended it to people because I think it's a tough leap for people who sort of aren't more familiar. If you're interested in some of those aspects, there are a lot of good movies. I've done one or two. I did a Salieri report on mind control, and then I did another joint with John Rappaport, and we talk about some of the movies and documentaries you can use if you want to educate yourself on that topic. Then we got several Ask Catherines asking me to watch a variety of different videos related to topics relevant to the Secret Space program, and I really appreciate those and will endeavor to watch those. Watching those videos takes a lot of time, so just be patient with me. Keep the recommendations coming, but be patient if I can't always watch them quickly or I don't always address them on the Salieri Report. Thank you. Okay, our interview this week is with Jim Poplava. Jim is the founder of the Financial Sense NewsHour. He's a money manager out of San Diego. He had a new article, 7 Megatrends That Will Shape the Next Decade. It's the bullish the bullish case for America, and it discusses the areas where I think the breakaway civilization is investing, and a lot is happening. Some of the good things or exciting things happening with new technology. What's interesting is if you look at what Jim said and what we said in the wrap-up, we really aligned and matched up very well. I loved a lot of the insight and facts he brought to the case, so I wanted to make sure you hear it because there's so much gloom and doom out. There's no doubt that we're seeing this tremendous divergence in the economy, with some areas being strong and receiving lots of investment and focus and benefiting from new technology, and then other areas that both sectors of the economy and places which are really suffering and people who are really suffering. So it's very Dickens. It's the best of time and the worst of time, depending on where you are. So as I said, when I talked about the Roach interview, which again, I recommend very well, because that's another way of looking at it, a different slice, is I do think there are people behind the scenes who have a vision. It's not one that some of us like. But they have shifted enormous money and they are re-engineering things, and it kind of leaves government and part of society to collapse while the other breaks away and builds in very radical ways. There are so many questions that you and I have about what is going on and how this is all working. The reality is all the questions get back to what in the world is going on in terms of where all the money's disappearing into, whether it's the black budget, a secret space program, but it all gets, it gets into where is all this money disappearing to and what's it going to do and why is that investment not flowing back to the average man and woman on the street? And those are questions that are critical to any analysis of the economy and what's really happening. And it's one of the reasons that I decided to be part of the Secret Space Program Conference. I'm going to be giving an hour and a half speech on the Sunday, and it's very much focused on how has the money been, how did the financial coup d'etat, how does that relate to something like a secret space program, and why is it absolutely critical for you and me to understand what is happening and what it means to our community and our pocketbook. So if you're interested, you can link from our website to the Secret Space Program Conference, and you don't have to attend. You can attend online by buying tickets for the stream. So I'll be speaking Sunday morning, and that stream will be available, I think, for 30 days, so you don't have to watch it live. Coming up next week, we'll be joined by a wonderful investigative reporter from the Washington area, Kelly O'Meara. For many years wrote for Insight magazine, for many years was a congressional staffer, so really knows the inside well. It's called Protecting You and Your Family from Psychiatric Drugs. Kelly wrote a book called Psyched Out, and she was one of the lead reporters in many of the stories about the efforts to get kids on psychiatric drugs, the damage it does, and how I think at this point every child ever involved in a school shooting was on these psychotropic drugs. July 3rd, again, we're moving the third quarter report back to July 24th, and Bonnie Faulkner is going to join me on July 3rd for a report from Silicon Valley. So she'll be attending the conference, and we'll have a great report for you. Bonnie, of course, is a host on KPFA Radio, very insightful, wonderful, wonderful woman to do this with. So until June 26th with Kelly O'Meara, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, you definitely need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.